I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 455. So many Easter eggs, you'd expect Peter Cottontail to show up. Home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming to gadget and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
Who is quickly going through a Peter Brady.
I'm a man now.
No, you're not. You're just a man, duh. But.
Call me Alex.
Oh, God, no. I will not. But joining us on this podcast is one of our favorite people on this blue pebble that we call a planet.
And he can actually speak.
Xenocor, welcome to the show. Thank you for being with us this week.
What up, sisters of the melanin? How are you doing?
We do well. How do you?
Well, you know, gotta pay them bills and stuff, so I'm still employed. Right. Thankfully enough, yay, I still have a job. And then on top of that, I've been animating it up and gaming it up ever since we last spoke, which is like years now.
It has.
It's been years. It hasn't been that long.
No, it's been a couple years. It is, in fact, been a couple years.
Yeah, I've gone more aged, and I'm starting to feel my age because I just had a talk with my I think I told you guys that I am hitched, right?
Yes.
Yeah. What? So the wife's kid brother.
You don't pay attention to anything, Pandala.
What?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm off the market, but you're off the market too. So what are you remarking
about?
Whoa,
yeah, really. Whoa! Not technically. There's still no ring on this finger.
Hey, shush.
And as far as he knows, from today I could possibly be a man. So
he probably listens to the show. You apologize.
No, actually, he doesn't. He's already told me he doesn't.
Yeah.
He lies. Anyway, no, her kid brother is here, and he thought I didn't watch anime. I said, boy, do you know who you talking to? I've been watching anime since before you were born. And the moment I said that, I realized, wait, how old am I? Good Lord, I've been watching anime since when? Oh, my God. So, yeah.
In fact, I have been watching anime since before he was born.
Yeah.
Welcome to the club. Yeah,
I've dubbed myself an elder geek from many years ago, but it just, my cloak feels more heavy now. Mm. You know, I have to lead the junior geeks along the proper path.
But it is a nicer quality.
Teach them the virtuous ways of anime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I finally given up the burlap. Now it's just cotton.
Yeah, yeah, you gotta go with that nice blend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wait till I get the silk when I'm like 80 and stuff, and
anime
will be created upon my pointing at the winds and stuff. It'll be amazing.
It could be like the Journey cloak, where you get your little inscriptions every time you go through it.
So don't you bring up Journey in my Destiny, not Journey. Sorry,
I was about to say.
Yeah, because that's just Warframe by Bungie with floaty graphics and stuff, and that annoys me. But anyway, that's another story.
Well,
Ninja loves Destiny.
I do.
Destiny is just a bad port, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, you wound me, sir. You wound
me. Yes, I do wound you, because Warframe is the stuff. Space Ninjas, what's up?
Warframe is bomb. I'm not saying it's not bomb. I'm just saying, don't get my Destiny now.
Mm, yeah, we'll meet in the arena. Thank you very much.
Well, we will, sir. I bite my thumb at thee.
Oh, I don't bite your thumb at you, but I do bite my thumb.
Oh.
I know that reference. I'm old enough to know that reference. That's
I
why.
Know you are. That's why
I'm out
there.
Oh, that was nice.
Good stuff. Mm-hmm. We have a bunch to talk about this podcast. So much so that I might not actually get to a 5 minutes of Destiny section.
I think Destiny could take a break.
It's a possibility, but
I my phone's charging, so I won't have an annoying alarm.
Yeah, so there's that too. But rest assured, it'll be back next week. Because I have shit to talk about probably by then. Because I haven't been able to actually play this week. I've been busy as hell watching anime and trying to play some other games. So we have
to see you branching yourself out beyond Destiny.
No, every once in a while I got to give my thumbs a break. Otherwise, I got to get the KT tape out and, you know.
Right.
rest.
How much typing do they have you doing at work to where you need support gauntlets for your type?
So it's not so much the typing at work as much as the marathons of Destiny, because I have little teeny
tiny. She's a boss, if you didn't know.
Well, that's not just that, but no, I understand a controller size issue may actually go into that. So
it does.
I retract my statement.
Yeah, it does.
She has tiny hands.
I do. And I be working them analog sticks, though. So for every penny that they're worth. So needless to say, every once in a while when I marathon for just a little bit too long, I do, in fact, have to brace up and tape up. But that's okay, because chicks dig scars.
Some do.
Well, hey, Serena Williams has to do it, too. So you go, girl.
You know, so it's a good pantheon, I think, to be in. But I needed to give my thumbs a break, so I've been playing some Disney Infinity 3, and I will definitely have a really nice write-up this week about it on the website, so make sure that
you get any of the 3.0 figurines for Infinity?
Yeah, so I went with the Clone Wars figures to start with, and that playset. I am going to get the OG set, because how could you not want Luke and Leia figures?
Screw that, man. It's all about Ahsoka.
I mean, I have Ahsoka, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave an Ahsoka. No, I gave... Hell, what was her name? I gave a character to my sister's Biffle, actually, when I came back from E3.
I think he has it at his office, but I don't remember what her name was.
Yeah, from the Rebels set. I have to say, like, overall, just in general, definitely, definitely worth the pickup. If you like the creation, if you enjoy a bunch of party games sometimes just to cleanse the palate, you know, you can't go wrong with these licensed properties. Like, between Star Wars and all the Disney verses and just doing weird things, like, my favorite thing is to take characters that should not be in the same realm together and put them in the same realm together in races and stuff like that. So, racing around with Jack Skellington and Star Wars characters is just fucking cool. So, I'm having a blast with it overall, but I do have a couple of criticisms, but you'll find them in the piece this week.
Yes. Well, it sounds like a non-Japanese, what's the term, Kingdom Hearts.
It is. It is a westernized version of Kingdom Hearts without the hardcore RPG elements. So they're in there, but they're so light that you don't feel like you're actually playing an RPG, even though you're spending time building up stats and accruing elements so that you can trick things out. It is a skill tree that you're running through, even when you're playing the pieces that are platformy and very much reminiscent of Mario games and side scrollers and platformers. And, you know, there's even levels that people are creating in the community and putting up that remind me of bullet hell type games. So it really is a very fertile playground. You know, it's soft. What's the game with Sackboy?
Damn it. Now I'm blanking on it too.
Little Big Planet. Yeah.
Yes, that's correct.
And so, like, the creation tools in Little Big Planet to really create a cool level really took a lot of time to work with to figure out all their mechanics and get it in there. It's much simpler and easier in Disney Infinity. They even have a tool that you can go into it and basically pick a few different types of things of what you'd like to do, and it will build a world for you, or you can really spend a lot of time building different worlds and enemies and even support characters and things like that. So because it scales so well, I think that it's a game that works really well for younger audiences, but also has a lot of complexity in it underneath that older audiences can also take it to other places and really enjoy it. And the fact that you can create and share what levels and challenges that you want to create within the community and then put them up for people to go and find and download and play with their playset characters in, I just find that to be really cool. And I know that you can do that with Little Big Planet, but because this is Disney and you have so many different stories and characters that are beloved, as opposed to trying to invent and get people to fall in love with a Sackboy, you know, it's very easy to be like, well, I already love Guardians of the Galaxy. So, yeah, I can make a Guardians world. That's cool. There's not a lot of learning that you have to do. You can tie right into that existing affinity, which is why I think it does so well. And it's just solid. So there's my more overt review for that, but I'll get into some of the more specifics in the piece that you'll see up on the Electric Sisterhood website. With that said, so let's start it off with Metal Gear, because I think that this is going to be a big conversation for us. I know, Panda, you have started it.
Yep.
Xeno, I know you've been through it.
I got 88 hours in.
Holy shit, dude.
Hey, it's Metal Gear. It's military. That's my bacon baby.
That's your bacon and cheese.
I have not started Metal Gear yet, but I've been watching a bunch of Let's Plays and talking with a bunch of people about it. I've got a friend who all over at Proven Gamer, which I will be appearing on their show next week. So what's up on that? Who is just cracked 300 hours in. So there's a lot going on in a game when you can be like, just top 300 hours, still haven't actually finished the story. But there's so much to do and so much going on. So I'd like to talk a little bit about the setup of the game. I think it'd be really easy to get into the drama of it being the last Kojima production that didn't get to be a Kojima production. I think we've beaten that horse until it's glue. There's no love lost, at least on my end, for Konami at this point, for the way the whole deal is kind of shook out. I think, and I've said this before, that it's a shame that they've parted ways. And I do think that it is a misstep for Konami to focus solely on mobile and leave console. But if you're not working with Kojima and his team, it makes sense to me that you do that. Because I don't know that Konami can do console well without his team. So with that, Xeno, why don't you walk us through Metal Gear?
Okay. So, well, the comment on the whole Konami thing, I think they've just buried a lot of properties they're not willing to put any faith into.
Yep.
That's the main thing. They could easily farm them out as licenses and still make money, which they may end up still doing, but because Lord knows... There's still small money to make without putting too much investment by letting somebody else take the hit by developing them. Mm-hmm. So that being said, best of luck to you. Hope you like Pachinko. All right. To the subject of Metal Gear Solid 5, the Phantom Pain. That theme is actually, I think, executed pretty well throughout the game story. Because every single character is dealing with some kind of Phantom Pain metaphorically, which I kind of like. That theme ran through everything that was put together so far.
How so?
Well, of course, you have Snake with his missing arm.
Yep.
You have, now I'm blanking, Miller with his missing unit because he lost his militaris. I can't even say it in French anymore. But the Militaries Without Borders, mm-hmm. He lost that. That's what his big loss was. Of course, his arm and his leg as well. So he's lost a lot, too. And then there's Emmerich, who's lost the love of his life through probably means of his own, but, you know, we'll get into that. And then, right. I mean, almost every character in there, Quiet with her voice and the ability to wear clothes.
Mm. Yeah. That's a heck of a thing.
She's lost her ability to wear clothes?
And some of her organs.
Oh, okay.
And we'll go into that. If we go on spoiler heavy or...
I started, like, literally, I'm just getting through the tutorial on how to do the stuff I need to do.
Yeah. So if you've been through the first mission, you have the basic feel and everything else like that, which is similar to what they did in Zeros. And, in fact, I noticed that Zeros doesn't work on my machine for some reason, which is infuriating because I never played
it. In terms of the timeline, though, for Metal Gear, Ground Zeroes and Phantom Pain are, like, supposedly you smush them together, and they're supposed to be the whole the Five experience.
Correct. So does the Phantom Pain... occurs 9 years after Ground Zeroes.
Okay.
But it is before Metal Gear 1.
Wow.
The NES title.
Okay.
So that's where it fits in the timeline. Because you're essentially playing Big Boss, the legendary soldier, the best dude on the planet at what he does, even better than Wolverine.
I don't think Wolverine's kind of overrated, if you ask me.
Well, but you know what I'm saying. So,
yes.
Yeah, literally... Instead of playing Metal Gear Solid, I was playing G.I. Joe. I don't know about anybody else, but I was playing G.I. Joe as if I was General Hawk and just recruiting all my soldiers in the field because they all get code names after they're picked up. It doesn't matter how Russian they were. It doesn't matter how African they were. The moment they joined the unit, they got an adjective and a noun to represent themselves. So it's like, man, this is just G.I. Joe. I know exactly what I'm doing. So,
There's nothing wrong with G.I. Joe.
Yeah, just building up forces against the never-ending fight against Cobra. So, and they have their Cobra. Yeah, they have their Cobra with Cypher. So it's like, hey, we're right there.
Right.
And you even get the fight against Cobra in the field a couple times, which is – and I have some discussion on that. But anyway, game, of course, is very well made. The mechanics of the game are very well done to where it's truly open – well, as open world as you can get and still have this level of intricacy. Because the levels really don't feel that large. They're somewhat cut into pieces by the architecture. So Afghanistan is very hilly. Therefore, you have lots of channels. So there might as well just be rooms and corridors, just like an old school shooter.
Okay.
You know, as far as functionally. But, I mean, but the environment, it looks good. The weather effects look great and play into what's going on. And numerous times, I'm not sure if it's coded that way, but the weather effects have always come up when they are needed.
Really?
Yeah, I've noticed almost every time I'm getting ready to enter a facility for deep penetration into the facility, a sandstorm starts coming sooner or later.
Hey,
so it might. So there might.
Helpful.
Yes, I'm predicting there might be something like an AI director similar to what Left 4 Dead does for controlling the weather. Granted, it'll still do it randomly, but it happens. You usually get some type of a weather event. I'd say like 30% of the time when you're going into or trying to get out of a facility. I've noticed that. I can't back that up with hard numbers because Lord knows I'm not going to do that much math. But yeah. All right. And some of the stuff tweaked me, like the sounds that you make are louder than what their effect is in the world. So it's kind of hard to judge exactly how loud you're being. But the fact that you can go softer, well, a lot of this is coming from Ground Zeroes. You can go loud and still get the mission done. It's not just about sneaking around. So that way you can have fun and go all, you know, blaze of glory and still accomplish the mission, which is thankful enough. Because sometimes you just get frustrated and just want to blow everybody to Kingdom Come.
And that's been my struggle with stealth games. Like, I have not played a Metal Gear game in a while just because stealth is not my thing for long periods of time because of the frustration thing. Like, if I step just too much by moving my analog stick too forward too fast, I end up making too much noise, and that alerts everybody in the area, and so I can't get through it. It really frustrates me.
Mm-hmm. Well, this one, with the reaction system to give you sort of a quick out in case that happens, that helps things. So it's not as bad as it was in the previous games. Like Metal Gear Solid 4, I almost can't put that in now.
Yeah, I did not play 4.
Yeah.
Did 4 have the weird women who were brainwashed and they were like mini bosses that you had to fight and then there was a random camera scene?
Panda is correct. That gives you $1. Okay, so. No. But yeah, I mean, I like the concept, but the execution was just basically excuses to have hot models doing your stuff. The concept behind them was cool, but if they would have went further with that and actually had it as a full-up trauma thing that you had to deal with, then that would have been interesting. If they actually would have done dialogue with that, that would have been interesting. But this game isn't about getting that deep into an RPG-type experience. So, like, if it had a Mass Effect chat thing after you pulled her out of their mecha and talked with them, that would have been very interesting. But that's before Mass Effect, I think. Right? I think. Metal Gear Solid 4 before Mass Effect?
I think so, yeah.
Or right at the end of the
start.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so that would have been very interesting if that was implemented. But it's not that type of game. Also, the fact that you can use your tactics on how to assault the base differently, and the difficulty in this game is based off of compensating on your gameplay instead of just getting harder.
That's important because, you know, the ramp up, if things are set at a very specific difficulty level, I think also add to people's frustrations, especially if they're not good with the stealth tactics or just as getting their tactics together in general. And I think that it's always kind of a slippery slope on how to make your game accessible so that it can, you know, financially market-wise be successful and still balance it out with creating a great experience and a good story. And one thing that I was really impressed with when I saw Phantom Pain 2 E3s ago, I think was a combination of one thing that you mentioned already was how the weather and the environments were really a character all on their own, and when that happens through a trailer and then, you know, a little bit of gameplay that I got to see, that's always an impressive thing. So it's one of the few times where I got to the end of a trailer for a game that I don't typically play and thought, I might actually need to pick that up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I still remember this. I'm playing a mission post completion of the main game assets, and that happens around 30% gameplay into the game, roughly. So even do side missions and everything else, once you're around 30% done with it, is when you'll run out of missions for the main story, and then it's just cleanup for the additional elements they add after the fact, which is around mission 30.
Hmm.
Yeah, so that's the main plot line for chapter 1 goes up to mission 30. In chapter 2 is considered the aftermath and the rest of the missing footage that I'm sure you guys have heard about by now that they cut out of the game. Yeah, so yeah. So go to YouTube if you want to see that stuff. But the main thing that excited me about this game was all of the Easter eggs that they hid inside this game. Just the little nods here and there of, like, when did they have time to get that approved and put it into the game? Because for me, being a person who is of the 80s, that is hilarious. Like, just how many references they did. I mean, there's one, the music. So I got, you know, Billy Idol playing on my chopper every time I recover or call in for backup. You know, you got to love that, you know.
I mean, come on. There's nothing more 80s than Billy Idol.
Oh, correct. Of course. So, you know, I just wish they would have had Dancing With Myself. That would have been just funny for some reason. But anyway.
Oh, that would have been good. I mean, the only Easter egg that I know about, because I was a big supporter of what Silent Hills was going to be, I know that one of the radios that you encounter out in, I don't know what area it's in because I have not found it yet, but it's the radio transmission that plays in the PT trailer when you find the radio in the hallway.
Correct, correct.
I don't think you saw enough. I thought that was a great, aw, thanks for reminding me of this thing that will never happen.
Yeah. It's like they just, hey, can I borrow this? Can I borrow this? can I borrow this audio asset real quick? I'll be right back. And then just threw it in there somewhere, you know, that type of thing. Yeah. When you finally upgrade your bionic arm, if you charge at somebody and swing, you hear the effects from the $6 million man. How more perfect is that?
Oh, my God. You're kidding me.
No, it's all over the YouTubes, man. If you're charging at somebody after you get your arm, because you'll do a punch that'll knock somebody out. But they play the $6 million man effect when they do it. Oh, that, of course, you have a bionic arm in the 80s. Why would you not make that noise?
That's,
you know,
how bionic arms in the 80s sound. Of course.
Yeah, so it's like, Kojima, how far did you go, man?
Well, I mean, this game takes place, what, in, like, 84?
Yeah, somewhere around there, yeah.
So, like, around the time that I was born. Yay!
Yep, yep.
Sure, oh. Yay.
Oh, and then, funny.
Yeah, and then there's, geez, the whole morale thing. So, everybody on base is basically a fanboy.
Well, it is.
That's somewhat irritating to me personally, but, like, really? You guys are that gung-ho for Big Boss? That you don't mind him choking you out and beating you up and throwing you over railings and stuff.
That's male bonding, I thought. I thought that's how males bond, is beating each other up.
Maybe in the Marine Corps, but not in the Air Force. That's for damn sure. So anyway. But, no, because the women are like that,
or anything, but,
No, the women are like that, too. Everybody on that base can't wait to get choked out by the Big Boss because his arms are so muscly strong or something.
He's a big man.
Not really, if you see him in the beginning. So there's no way he could have gotten all swole, you know, in a few months, that's for sure. But
he's putting in work, man.
And steroids.
Yeah. Well, there's that too. Who knows?
He's juicing.
Yeah. So, I mean, and then plus all the systems that are behind the scenes are the other thing that really caught my attention. Like, for instance, you know about morale. So every time you rescue animals, you rescue hostages, you know, you greet soldiers on the base, the morale for the soldiers goes up, and you get hero points, which is that big gauge that shows up at the end of every mission. And then, depending on how villainous you are in the battlefield, like how many lives you take and stuff, you actually get a separate thing, demon points, which are not shown to you, but are represented by the shrapnel in your head. Yeah, so the more people you kill versus how many you're saving, the bigger that piece of shrapnel gets until it looks like an Oni horn.
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
Yeah, but I mean, the effect is, once it gets to, like, there's four levels of it, once it gets to level 4, you are constantly drenched in blood, as if you're, like, a Japanese demon.
See, now I saw some videos like that that were showing the character all drenched in blood, and I thought, wow, that was just a real tough mission, I guess. Yeah. But I didn't realize that it was related to the Devil Point stuff.
Yeah, well, there's that too. I mean, you can just stay out in the field till you smell and be covered in blood. Like, no more bullet hits you take, the bloodier you look. But there's also a thing with the FOBs, with the managing of nukes, because you can build nukes. And when you raid other FOBs, destroy them. If you build a nuke, you instantly go to demonic status.
Well, you should.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's appropriate. I get it. But, you know, but I didn't. But this, just the fact that they threw that in there as a factor for it, I thought was interesting. And then the cassettes, like some of the normal musical cassettes and some of the ones with the superfluous sounds, like the one with Quiet Song, which is just like 15 seconds or whatever, and the soldier having trouble in the porta potty and stuff like that, they actually have in-game effects when used.
Oh, really?
Yes. So, for instance, when you come across the first long-lost soldier from Mother Base, if you're in a box and play one of the songs in there, he'll hear that and walk over to you and stand in front of it as if he's in the daze because he remembers the song.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty clever.
Deep. That's a nice touch. That's a nice
Yes. And I don't think it works the same for each soldier because every soldier attacks you in a different way when you get too close to them because they swat at you, knock you out, and then they run off in that weird thing that they do. They basically look like Walking Dead, but until you get close to them, then they swing at you, knock you out, and run away. And then certain ones do certain abilities, and you'll see it during the thing. But I think each one has a different way to approach it that is safe. Or you can just snipe them from long range once you get the sleeper rifle, you know, that type of thing. So
I like to snipe.
Yeah, yeah. Sniping makes it very easy, especially once you get D-Dog. So D-Dog's the stuff, man. So yeah, so and then the way you stun them alters how long it takes for them to get up. The fact that you can use the box for fast travel on the game maps. Because that box has way more functionality than it ever did.
So you basically can travel like a Muppet?
Oh, yeah. You pack yourself in a box. You put yourself at a pickup destination. And any place that you've picked up a label for, you can be shipped to. Yeah, you pop in the box. You hold down a button after you've been idle for a little bit. It'll bring up the map. And it has a whole bunch of highlights. You click it. They pack you in a box and ship you just like they did in Metal Gear when you got in the back of a truck. It's great.
That's hysterical.
Well, and it can come in valuable because you're still in the box when you show up. So even if it's a place that has a mission in it, you won't alert anybody because you were just shipped and dropped off. No, the troops aren't alerted to your presence.
That's clever.
Yeah,
that's
so genius. So it's actually useful despite how silly it sounds.
Yeah. No, that's great.
You know, I think that's one of the things that I've always like admired about Kojima stuff is that it is so layered. And there's a lot of seriousness and there's a lot of psychological pieces to things. You know, it's obvious that people sat in a room and really thought a lot of things through. And at the same time, though, the comedic things that are added, they're just pack so much punch.
Mm-hmm.
I think because they're so far on the other side of that deeper stuff. You know, when you talk about everybody having some kind of phantom pain that they are working through and dealing with as you're playing this game, mm-hmm. and as you're exploring those stories going through the game, you also have these mechanics where you get packed up in a box to fast travel.
Yeah, I love that. And then there's this for the mechanics thing. You know that you can go, if you go safely through a mission, don't kill anybody. You get bonuses for this, that, and the other thing. Yep. But there's the best bonus in here is a bonus called No Traces. Have you heard of this one?
No.
Okay. If you go mission and accomplish the following during the mission, you will get an unbelievable bonus in points for the mission that you happen to be doing. And this is mainly for the story missions. It doesn't happen for the side missions. All right. You have no alerts on the base, no kills of any foes, no reflex occurrences, so you have to turn around and put somebody to sleep real quick. So none of those activate. No trigger pulls, so you never pull the trigger on any of your weapons. You could point it to stand somebody up and, you know, make him get on the ground and stuff, but you can't actually pull the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
Right. No buddy attacks, so you can't tell dog to stick on somebody to get around that issue, you know, or have quiet snipe somebody. No vehicle attacks, so you can't use a vehicle to attack anything. No OP items. There are certain items that say that they reduce your class, your accomplishment to A automatically if you use them. like calling in the chopper or using one of the special suits at the end of the game, that type of thing. You call in no supply drops. And if you use a – oh, no CQC, so you never grab anybody around the throat. And you never remove a cardboard box. You can put it on. You can move with it, but you never get rid of it. If you can accomplish all of that within one mission, you will get the best bonus for that mission, which is called No Traces, because there's no evidence you are even on the site.
Have you managed to do that yet?
Hell no. I like shooting people too much. It's too tempting. That, this one guard wearing all this.
That once I really get into this game, I'm going to be like, I'm going for it.
It's too much fun. It's too much fun throwing a decoy at a guard's feet. Wait until he gets too close and popping it so it knocks him unconscious. It's just too good because it's literally like inflating an airbag from inside a steering wheel at their feet. It just kicks them in the air and it knocks them out. It's great. And supposedly later on you can get one that stuns people and stuff too. So that's going to be fun.
See, that's the kind of stuff that, again, I would enjoy. And probably the reason why so many people are spending so much time in the game. You know, as I mentioned, I've got a friend that is like 300 hours in and is still going strong on the game. And I have to imagine that it's because of trying to find various new ways to lure people out, knock them out, take them out. I definitely know that this is one of the guys that's probably tried multiple times and got frustrated and just decided to cap everybody, but it's probably gone after the No Traces thing before. It just amazes me, like, how many layers there are to this game. You know, a lot of people talked about this game, hyped it for 2 years before it came out, and it's a lot of times difficult when a game is hyped for that long and it comes out and doesn't live up to the hype. Do you feel, knowing how people talked up this game, talked it up and down, all the stuff that went on with, you know, Kojima Productions folding, do you think that the game lives up to the hype? Or is even better than the hype? Or should have been hyped for different reasons than it was, now that you've played it?
No, and I'll tell you why. It's for an administrative reason, not for the sake of the game itself. The game is unfinished. As good as everything that is inside this game, it is not done.
How so?
Well, I mean, the fact that half the story is cut out of the game. You never get a hard end in this. It's literally like reading a few chapters into a book, and the last 100 pages or so are thrown away.
Well,
it's infuriating.
That's a hard pill to take.
Yeah,
coming into the timeline, though, where it's in the middle of the story, I mean, wouldn't the rest of the story be filled in through the other games?
Yeah, but they cut it really rough, is what I'm saying. It's like it's like a show that gets canceled and they have to end it in 2 episodes early. So they rush and slap it together and put it out the door.
So it's Being Human.
Yeah. I mean, I understand that. But for all that is in here and the way it is, you can tell there's a tone change once you get to a certain point. And as a public service announcement, this is the other thing that really annoyed me. Mission 44. For this mission alone, it would lose a point in a review because it is a point of no return until you finish the mission. So if you have not played enough and done enough side missions before you hit mission 44, which effectively is Quiet's last mission. I mean, you can tell from the mission title it's Quiet's last mission. But once you start it, the game will not let you quit it and try to restart it. So whatever resources you have in your base, whatever equipment you have on your person, if you want to switch anything, you basically have to start the mission over. It'll respawn you back at the beginning of the mission when you're on the chopper coming in, and you have to call in gear changes, which it's really expensive in-game. Like to call in like almost any drop you do is like 10,000 base points. Right? If you only have like 300,000 base points and you can't get through this mission – And you're trying, I don't have enough rockets. Let me try this rocket and this gun. You have to call it in manually inside the mission. So you start burning up all your cash. Okay. Instead of aborting the mission, changing your configuration and just restarting it like you could every other mission previous to that. So I'm saying that as a PSA. Once you start mission 44, until you finish it, it is a point of no return. You will not be able to change your gear unless you spend in-game points, which may bankrupt your mother base.
Yeah, that hurts.
That's just bad mission design. And that might be a rushed issue because they're trying to finish off Quiet stuff because she was already in the game. She's influential. You can get her to 100% buddy rating in the normal play of the game that they have. So they just basically ended her story. And it's a decent ending for her story. But the fact that they won't let you abort out of it to retry and change your gear is makes that thing. I almost quit playing the game just because it was. It's that I was trying to get through it and do, you know, extremely well the first shot I went through. So I ended up replaying it a lot until I saw some people just cheesing it through by calling in air support left and right and basically using the funding in their base to beat the mission for them. And I didn't want to go that route, but, you know, I was trying to be all thug and stuff, but mm-hmm. I just couldn't handle it. And I ended up taking the bitch route and just calling in air support left and right to finish it. So
it takes a strong person to be able to admit when they need help.
Yep.
Sometimes you need a little air support.
True, but man, I was snatching tanks left and right. I had that whole mission figured out. I mean, because they all spawned at the same, you know, it's just like any other game that has spawn points and triggers and everything else like that. I was starting to figure out where the triggers were in the mission. So I could damage this tank and not have it enter the area, and it wouldn't spawn anything else. So I could clean up everything very easily and get resupplied and this, that, the other thing, and then finish that tank off and go into the next wave. I shouldn't have time to game the system like that.
True.
But you are an expert level gamer.
I wouldn't say that. Well, I'll say I'm more aware of game design than the average person because of my schooling. That's about it.
Nah, you're above average.
You're better than that.
Okay, if you'll say so. Other than that, that's a small point though. But just know mission 44, be ready before you actually click on start that mission. So
now, do you get any clues going into that mission beforehand that it's going to be like that? Does it start like the other missions?
Like, does someone give a throwaway line or something that literally is like, oh man, well, here we go, or this is
well, no, because it starts just like any mission. I mean, you're going in to save Quiet, and there's other missions where you save other people, but it's the fact that all the other missions let you abort back to the ACC, which is basically riding in the chopper with no mission loaded. You know, essentially the marshalling area in Warframe or in Destiny, you know, you just jump back out of the mission. You can do whatever you need to and then jump back in. This game disallows you from going to that point once you start that mission. You could in every single other one.
Yeah, that just sounds like
poor. Chose to do that to hone in that finality of what obviously is happening in the mission with Quiet, particularly?
This mission feels like an end boss. I mean, it's that complicated. When you fight the Metal Gear equivalent in this game, this mission is just as hard because you are saturated with targets. It's a siege. So you literally are shooting out of this corner and then you're going over to shoot this corner. They're sending troops in. You have to handle it there. It's essentially a one-man horde mode. So you can imagine how busy you are managing all those targets.
All those TSR reports.
Yeah, exactly. So it's extremely task saturated when you're doing the mission. Then you figure out, okay, I shouldn't have done this. That's what got me killed. But you can't change your configuration without restarting everything, erasing what, because it checkpoints you inside that mission. So once you get two or three raids in, it saves progress because it gives you a break to set mines and other things of that. So you can prepare yourself, and then it starts again. You have to erase that point to get before that to change your gear because there's no way you can drop that stuff in get it without being shelled. Yeah, so it's just bad mission design is essentially it. They might have just left a flag in there that keeps you from going back to the ACC. So that's a major issue. But other than that, the game, for what it is, what they released, is very good. It's unfinished, but it's very good.
Do you think that originally the plan maybe was to continue on the line, you know, and not necessarily finish it, but kind of close the story in another game? Everything happened with Kojima Productions that they ended up not having the full experience that they originally intended on?
No, Phantom Pain was essentially going to fit its chapter in the Metal Gear universe and end hard. That way, because essentially the big reveal at the end ties into all the other Metal Gears that come after it chronologically. So the whole Outer Heaven thing with Solid Snake showing up in Metal Gear 1 is right before this, and it makes sense, and it's referenced somewhat. It's foreshadowed.
That's just sad because, like, so many people that I talk to about this game, because we have big long conversations about open world games a lot with the current gen consoles that are out there and all the hardware things that allow you to create these vast open worlds. You know, I was part of a Game of the Year conversation on another podcast a week ago, and, you know, we were talking about Arkham Knight versus Metal Gear versus Witcher for a game of the year. And, you know, one of the big themes was because open boxes and open worlds seem to really be prevalent now, is it because of the hardware or not the hardware? You know, is it because there are more people trying to tell richer, deeper stories on the medium versus before because they have hardware and software that allow them to do that? You know, I wonder if in trying to make something so open world and so big that part of what you have to give up then is what a lot of us are used to in these types of games, which is a gradual build to a definitive end.
Well, considering that the majority of the plot elements that are significant to Metal Gear, as far as the way you play through, you know, the codec conversations and everything else, a lot of that has been pushed off to the side with the tapes that you find that you can play at your leisure, whether in a mission or in the ACC or on Mother Base. That little iDroid you're carrying around allows you to play all of those audio tapes. So you can listen to all of the exposition you want. It's all there. But it's not in the way of the actual gameplay. So somebody who doesn't really care about their background doesn't have to listen to them.
But someone who may enjoy it whenever they want and not have to pull themselves out of something or retreat to something to go sit for 20 minutes to listen to everything being said or read everything.
Correct. But it fills in almost all the plot points that have been established for anything in the consequence. I mean, Metal Gear Solid Peacemaker is included in this. You know, all the Metal Gears for the NES, all the Metal Gears, almost everything chronologically makes sense with this in the way, because this is essentially the story of how Big Boss got huge. He was big before, but this is when he really grew within the 80s, right before Metal Gear 1 occurs. So you being that person, and because it's so loose of a plot element that, you know, Boss became a legend on the battlefield, well, that is essentially you playing through is that legend being created. So they can go as far as they want, and as long as they tie it up on the ends, you have all the room for an open world in here. So it was, it's very well done.
I can get through this beginning so I can get into this. Like, you kind of got me, like, stoked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, some of the plot elements.
That's how stoked I am.
Yeah, like, the majority of the plot elements that are, like, the you know, the last episode of the anime are given to you when you complete the last episode of the main story, so.
Okay.
And then there's the main story, which is revolving around the Metal Gear plot. And then there's one for Big Boss specifically, for Quiet, for the kid soldiers. You know, they all have their elements that they tie up. And that's all in Chapter 2. So they link off to the other elements of the story. So it's all tied up. It's just they cut elements of that story out. And they did it in a convenient position to where it could have been, well, what happened to them? Well, they actually had a story. They just didn't tell you about it. And they just glued it directly to the other game. So
you're 80 hours in.
Mm-hmm.
What got you to continue to play the game after hour one, get you to 80, and have you continue playing after 80? Because I think that's a big thing that a lot of people, especially on the gamers who are maybe a little bit older, you know, have day jobs.
Hey!
Can't play marathons. You know, marathons when you're 18 are different than marathons when you're 30, right?
Correct. You need vacation time for that.
You know, or sick day.
Hey.
I've called out of work for all kinds of games. I literally took a vacation day to, in fact, play Destiny Taken King when it came out.
Yeah, she did.
And my boss laughed at me. She's like, oh, what are you doing? Anything fun? And I was like, yeah. I'm getting a new entertainment system put in so I can play Destiny for, like,
you actually hours. Told your boss that? That's fun.
Yeah, I did. Well, because, you know, like, people ask, like, when you take vacation, I'm like, oh, doing anything fun? Where you go? As they're signing off on stuff. And I'm like, I'm calling in nerd, basically. Gonna sit on my couch, my pajamas, eat pizza, play video games till I can't move thumbs anymore.
Yeah, I've been taught way too well about operational security to ever let my boss know what's happening with that. So.
I mean, yeah, that I probably, if I had been trained on it, would do it. But I'm like, meh, they're really not gonna understand any of the things that I'm saying anyway. So
no one ever asks me.
I could have said that I was going to the RMV and they would be like, oh, okay, because I get the same reaction. Okay. That's pretty much like when you're taking a vacation day and your boss is not a gamer. They just don't get it. One place that I work, I brought my form to request the vacation day off. And it was so funny because my boss was like, oh, Grand Theft Auto? I was like, yeah, Grand Theft Auto. And she was like, yeah. My nephew is going to be sick that day for school. Like, there's a recognition there, just mm-hmm. by date. And that's always cool when that happens. And so I'm probably at the point that I should probably just stop telling my boss that I'm taking a nerd.
Clearly, if you take a vacation day, there must be some type of game involved.
Or a gaming convention.
Or Apple.
I mean, you guys eat sushi, right? Wink, wink. Yes. You know? So, yeah, that's all it is. I had some bad sushi.
Yeah,
that's the ticket.
24 hours. I'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah, that tuna is not sitting right, y'all.
Yeah, I'll just eat a whole bunch of ginger, and that'll completely cleanse my palate, and I'll be good.
Yeah, I just need a day of like ginger and tea, and it's all good. And really, it's just I need a day to pew pew. You know what has kept you playing the game that long? Because length of game is something that causes a lot of, I don't want to say controversy, but definitely conversation, and people have some really strong opinions about basing whether or not a game is good by based how on long the amount you play it.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too, because when it felt like I was almost done with the main story, and it said my completion level was 30%, I'm like, what? 30%? Is this thing right? Since then, I've gotten to 60%. Mainly it's because I like the tech of what they've included in the game so far. By the time you finish the game, you're probably only going to have your weapons up to maybe level 3 or level 4. There are up to 8 levels depending on what the game weapon is. Like, for instance, your buddy, like you can outfit the horse with horse armor, effectively. Yeah, and then you can make him a Fury Corn.
What?
Yeah, you can make him a Fury Corn. You got to get his buddy up enough. You have to do certain – I think it's with the man on fire, you have to handle that mission in a certain way. Not the first one, later on, because you'll see him here and there. But when you finally deal with him, I think there's a certain objective you have to handle with that in order to, and they give you the flaming horse from the intro.
That's so cool.
And I
heard that we see Psycho Mantis before he's Psycho Mantis.
Yeah, I don't think they ever really told you who he was. Everybody pretty much guessed it's Psycho Mantis. Yeah. I mean, I was wondering if it was actually going to be. I mean, because with Metal Gear, did you know who the BB unit was going to be when you saw him? It's like, what the hell are these chicks running around like a dog suit and a floating octopus chick and a snake chick and all,
no,
you know? It's like,
they really did.
Yeah. So I was waiting because when the flaming dude shows up, I'm like, where the hell was he in the Metal Gear storyline? He came out of nowhere, but there's a reason for him. I don't want to go into it. But if you pay attention and you look closely, you can probably figure out who it is before they let you know. Yeah, just when you did that, and there are certain items you have to recover in the game that you get sooner or later, and it opens items like the Snake's headband is opened up, like Boss's headband is opened up later. But you have to retrieve an item that you do on a mission that you have to do later. So, you know, all the tech opens up. Like, it actually gives you a defensive bonus when you're wearing it. So it's not useless, you know. Because Lord knows some of them bullets hurt. And then...
No, really?
Yeah, just a little bit, you know, just a little bit. But on top of that, as you gain your buddy's stuff up, so you get D-Dog and he gets a knife that he actually gets to pull and stab people with. D-Dog is awesome. I mean, all the stuff you get to do with D-Dog is great. I mean, he's a walking soliton radar, for one. You know, he can smell anybody out just under 100 meters, regardless of whether they're behind a wall or not. So he's very helpful. Like, D-Horse is there for mobility and speed. D-Dog is there for penetration and infiltration. Quiet is there for fucking shit up. That girl knows her job very well. Thankfully enough, I'm glad that she made her that functional. Otherwise, she was just going to be, you know, fan service. Mm-hmm. Right. But no, Quiet is my most used one because she functionally does her job very well. You just don't actively control her. You give her orders and she does those. Yeah, so when you get Quiet, she has two orders mainly, to scout and to attack. she can cloak herself. So she goes around the camp, and anything that's within visual radius of her when she checks, she will highlight. If they're inside a building, she can't see them. That's why D-Dog still has, if you want to penetrate, D-Dog's still the choice. Mm-hmm. So there's, everybody has their value. And with D-Horse, if you're far enough away, you can hide behind him and still be moving at a decent speed. So he's really great for mobility. And his poop makes cars spit out. So, you know, you gotta love that. I actually used that. It was very effective.
Runny poop. Both,
yeah, yeah. You tell, once you buddy-buddy with him, you tell him to go. But you park them at a certain spot on the street, so that way when the cars roll over the poo with their tires, they actually spin out and wreck, and everybody is dazed inside the truck. It was like, yes, excellent work. I'm glad I gave you your oats.
That is the most effective use of horse shit in a video game ever.
I know.
Right? That deserves an award.
Yes, and then, I've seen YouTubers usually get for interrogation, but it doesn't quite work that way. But, you know, knock somebody out. Like, tell me where the base is. Like, okay, do it. You're like, tell me where the base is. He's not going to say anything. He's already knocked out. You know, so, yeah, so.
Oop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the fact that, and I think it works on treaded vehicles, too. So you can do it on tanks.
You can make a tank spin out.
Yeah, yeah. You won't knock out the crew, but, yeah, the tank will lose traction and go off in the side of the ditch and stop. But if you do it in the right spot, you can slap a Fulton on him, and that tank goes bye-bye. So, yeah, you know, so it's very tactical in that way.
Again, the levels of the psych matched with just the very clever, silly things. So just like, that's the stuff that gets me about Kojima's games. That's just great. I can take a tank out with horseshit. Like,
oh yeah, Anubis and Jehudi are in there too.
What?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm not sure about Anubis, but the hand of Jehudi is a bionic upgrade.
Jehudi,
get out! I miss that game so much.
Yep, yep, yep. So yeah, you get the bits, and you can pick up soldiers at range.
Dude.
Yeah.
All right, I might.
And there's a rocket punch.
Yeah.
I think people punch. Know about the rocket punch. But
Kojima, I feel, has always kind of been ahead of his time, even with the earlier / future Metal Gear games. Like with Praying Mantis and his ability to fuck with you, and not you as in, you know, Solid Snake, but, you know, you the player. Because I did play a bit of that game in that fight, because a friend of mine was like, you need to try this. Like, you're going to find this, like, the coolest thing ever. And I brought my own little, save file thing that I put into his console to play it. And literally in the middle of my game, like, my controller didn't work. Like, I did not know what was going on. And that's, I think Kojima had a way of blending the hardware with the software to make the experience that much more immersive. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when this game came out, people just wanted to grab on to that little essence of him one more time before, obviously, he walked off into the sunset. And do we get any of that type of encounter in this game? Like, are we getting old school Kojima in this, you know, swan song of a game?
I mean, there are so many little Easter eggs. I mean, just like amongst Mother Base, though, when you get the AI core, if you do certain things to it, it'll do certain things. Well, I mean, it's completely scattered with Easter eggs. Okay. Even I haven't seen them all. Half the stuff I know is from YouTube videos.
Okay.
Yeah, like, I would have never come across that mission.
That's what I'm looking forward to, is to feel that little embrace that Kojima has always put in all of his games. I mean, I even went back and sat while the boyfriend played Snatcher.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, and I sat through Snatcher.
Wow.
Which wasn't bad per se.
Yeah, I think Snatcher is one of the few games you could actually participate in as an onlooker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, Kojima, like, he was on top. He had some really great ideas even then. And my boyfriend likes to really make sure he touches every single thing, like, in an area before he moves. So he made sure to touch everything. And, like, there were so many subtle nuances that for a game that's so old, for it to still be very fresh. Like, I can even see them redoing Snatcher now and it being actually probably pretty good. Not that it wasn't bad, like, it wasn't good then, but I'm just saying, like, even better.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm looking forward to, like, when I sit through this game. I mean, I probably won't crank out 80 hours unless the Completionist Panda comes out, and then we may never see me again. Yeah. But I don't know if that will happen for me, per se.
You have to come out of retirement because Rock Band. So.
Oh, man, that's right, Rock Band. Shit.
Yep, yep.
Rock Band.
Yeah, don't remind me of the rhythm games. I'm having some rhythm game issues at the moment. But essentially, that's what I got for Metal Gear as far as my input. It's unfinished, but what is there is excellent.
That's, you know, a real, I think, testament to a good game is if it's good, like, as you play it. And if you can have a game that you can spend 80 hours in and still have a life and have a great experience and walk away from it or put your controller down and be like, that was awesome. That was awesome. That's the mark of an excellent game. Sad to hear that it's a little unfinished, but...
But how many games can you honestly say out there that are, like, as big as this game is, and it be...
Mass Effect? I know you haven't finished your sentence, but Mass Effect?
That ending, though?
But Mass Effect, though?
But, oh, we're only going to change the color of the explosion, dog?
But...
Yeah, Mass Effect, my issue wasn't with their ending, it was just written badly.
Like, so it's like, hey, let's just shift... FFFB to FFFC if they have this much Paragon.
Hey, don't be nice to my Paragon, okay?
I'm just saying, teal and Sifo green are very similar colors.
Okay, I'm just saying, okay, it's just a visual cue to help you know, just in case you're not paying attention, that things are different than the last time.
It's like mauve and magenta are a little bit more different. I think people will be able to tell. But there was a little bit more. What was the bad in that? Paragon and...
Renegade,
yeah. So, I mean, obviously, the more I get into the game, I will have more to comment on. Like I said, I'm still kind of babying it through. But I'm pumped to find all those Easter eggs and to see what the story has to offer. I mean, from a lot of the reviews that I've checked out before doing this show, a lot of people seem to feel like there was less attention on the focus of the story. And... But they felt like it got made up with everything that they're offering in this one big bundle. Because I think it's really hard in a open world to give us enough to feel connected to what's going on in the main story and still branch out enough with outside stuff to make us feel like we're not just doing activities and burning through the day.
But Skyrim?
I'm only one dragon word away from completing Skyrim.
This is what I'm saying.
I have 8 houses, and each of them either have tables or chairs in them, because I'm kind of a hoarder like that. Skyrim. But that's beside the point. But I mean, like with Black Flag. Like, Black Flag is a big one in that. And I can't even say for a personal experience, because I didn't play Black Flag, but I watched the Biffle do it, and he got really... everything on the map.
Yeah.
Everything.
But really, the only thing and the only reason why you should play Black Flag is to just be out on the open sea and be a pirate.
And just listen to shanties all day.
Yeah, just roll around, listen to shanties.
But that was a hard turn to the left. And
do
while
we need
I
go back right. So make sure that if you like this show, that you hit up our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. You will catch our podcast there. You will catch all the stuff that the team is writing about, games, gadgets, galore, and oh yeah, anime too, on the website. Our podcast is also available on Stitcher Radio, in iTunes, either via the music store on your desktop or via the podcast app on your iOS device. You can also catch us in pretty much any podcast search engine out there on the web. So make sure that you subscribe and get our episodes the moment we put brand new ones out each week. Check in with the other members of the team because we love what they do and they love what they do. And I'm pretty sure you'll love what they do. And that includes our homeboy KBD over at b3crew.com. Check out the podcast No Borders, No Race. If you like stuff that's indie or just want to discover something new to you, then definitely make sure that you hit up b3crew.com. On hiatus, but coming back soon, Geek Aggro, more EDM, Trap, Deep House, because you know the beats don't stop. The beats don't stop. So make sure that you check out Geek Aggro, hit up the archives, and find some great, great mixes put together for your listening pleasure. And also, if you're into recaps, TV shows, and entertainment, so just in general, or random wacky conversations, then make sure that you hit up theissuesprogram.com and check out all of the stuff that the Issues guy is putting together, including coming soon to a TV-type screen nearest to you. Recap this, recap that. And the homies over at Structure Network, Love them so much. Everything from unboxing to wrestling, TV, sports, games, manga, everything that is nerdy is covered over at the Structure Network, put together by the homeboy Quicksilver. So make sure that you're checking that out. There's a bunch of New York Comic Con coverage coming, so make sure that you're checking out thestructurenetwork.com for all that news. With all the business done, it's the time on the show where, before I ask my sis, I'm going to ask our guest, Zeno, what shit you digging this week?
I'm digging the fact that I was still able to get a Galaxy Note 4 instead of that new 5 bullcrap, because I like removable components. So there, take that. I like my IR controls so I can use my phone as a remote. I done paid a lot of money for this, so I want to use it in that fashion. Don't you dare limit me taking that stuff away from me. Anyway,
don't limit the Zeno.
Exactly.
Sis, what shit you digging this week?
Steven Universe and gems and fusions and marshmallows and all the good stuff.
That is good stuff.
What about you, sis?
I am, in fact, digging a gadget. I got a brand new freaking mouse from Logitech, the MX something performance. I can't even remember what the number is. This thing is so smooth. It moves like a hot butter knife through air. It makes my computings that much more compute. So I will throw a link up to it in the show notes, but I'm fucking digging my mouse. So that's what I got. As always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And I'm Xenocore.
Until next time, folks.
Bye, everybody.
Get out!